Hi, I'm Sarah and I'm an addict. I was actually asked to speak here on my way in. I knew there was a reason I should have taken more time getting ready, but I didn't know it was because I was going to speak. So please bear with me because I am a little bit nervous. I haven't spoken in a while at a big meeting, just shared at small meetings. So this is a little bit of a change for me. I guess I just want to, go over kind of like my history before I came into recovery a little bit to qualify myself. I am an addict. I started using, probably like most of you started using, a family member of mine let me have a hit, and it kind of went from there. I got high, and that night I thought I'd found like the secret to why I never felt okay with who I was. We were doing what we normally did. We were hanging out at Eaton Park, drinking coffee. But I got up and the world started moving, and I was like, wow, this is something great. And after that, that's all I chased, was that something great that I thought it was. I really got into the rave scene in Pittsburgh. I moved out there for a while and tried to go to college, but it didn't quite work because I was too busy. My schedule in my head was, go to clubs twice a week, go to a rave on a weekend, at least one rave a weekend, and, fit school in somewhere in between there. And that really doesn't work out too well when, you're supposed to be doing okay in college and learning something. So I decided college was getting in the way of my life and quit college and started working and lived in Pittsburgh for a little while and just continued partying. My family could see like the downward spiral, and now I can kind of see it, but I didn't notice anything. I thought that I'd finally found life. I thought that, I spent all these years hating myself and not liking what I was. And finally I felt like when I got high that I could fit in anywhere and I could be anything and I could be Wonder Woman and I could, just climb mountains. And that was really important because even before I started picking up, I was depressed a lot. I went through like that kind of hating school, hating life. I never fit in. I was kind of like that alternative person on the edges of the popular crowd. And drugs made me feel okay for that time. But I didn't realize how much they were really messing up my life. I burned a lot of bridges in my life, and Pittsburgh was another one of those bridges that I tried to burn because something happened in the apartment that I was sharing with people, and I wasn't okay with things, and I thought it was all their fault, and nothing belonged to me, and that I was the person who was doing everything right, and I, like, just left. Then I decided to, like, start college over, and I thought if I could do that geographical change and move to a completely new area, Indiana, PA, that things would be better and I could be somebody different and maybe I'd stop using for a little while. And like I want to, in my head I was thinking, oh wow, the first couple weeks I was there I hadn't used for 2 weeks, but I wasn't counting like the over-the-counter things that I used, like the stupid things like no-dos or Benadryl that I never really counted, but they are, and I use them as drugs in my life. But eventually, you find, like, the same old people that you hung out with, they just have different faces. And I found those people that invited me to the Kagers. And, it was a little bit different partying than I was used to in Pittsburgh, but it was the same kind of people, the people who just wanted to party and not worry about school. And that's what I did. And I kind of hung on. And it says, in our readings, it talks about jails, institutions, and death. I never went to jail, but I've gone to my fair share of institutions. So in the spring year of being at IUP, I ended up in another psych ward, which would have been my second. And I ended up getting this psychiatrist who basically said either, I quit hearing about you partying, or I'm sending you to rehab. And, I could take the 5 days out of my life to go to a psych center, but for real, I wasn't going to take 30 days to go to a rehab. So forget that. And what they told me to do was to go to this outpatient center. And I went to the outpatient center. I did the whole intake. They thought I needed to go to rehab. And I said, no, I don't I don't need rehab. I just need to stop for a little while, and I'll be okay. If I just stop and I can figure things out and I can get okay with myself, then, you know, I can be one of those people that socially drinks or, you know, socially smokes pot or socially uses acid, like people socially use acid. But that's what I thought. So I did the outpatient program instead of the inpatient program because I had to be self-willed about it. And when I was doing the outpatient program, part of what you had to do was go to these either AA meetings or NA meetings. And I knew what AA was because, you know, you see it on TV, you see people going to AA meetings, different programs. And I didn't really know what NA was, but the guy there told me that I'd probably feel a little more comfortable in NA because of the substances I used and because there were some more younger people there, whereas the AA in Indiana didn't have a whole lot of young people at that time. So I was like, whatever, you know, I'm just doing this for a summer is what I'm thinking, because it was my summer break, so, you know, had to have my big last hurrah, and I don't remember the night, besides the fact that I was really messed up and I hated myself the whole time I was using. And that's really what it came to at the end of my using, and I think that's why I was okay with listening to people a little bit and doing an outpatient, was that it was hit or miss. Every other time I used, it would either be like a great time and I'd chase that time again, or I'd end up curled in a ball screaming my brains out because I hated life. And I didn't, you know, I couldn't live that way anymore. But I still didn't think I was an addict, which is crazy. But so I ended up going to my first NA meeting, and I was all, like, nervous. And there was this older gentleman, and he's like, oh, is this your first meeting? And he's telling me, oh, you can get a key tag. And I'm like, what the hell is this key tag thing? Like, what is he talking about? Is he on crack? Like, I was so confused and I was so distraught. And I sat there during the first meeting and I didn't say a word besides, hi, I'm Sarah. I'm an addict, because that's what everybody else said. So I figured I needed to fit in. And I cried inside, listening to what everyone was sharing. I cried inside and I went back out to my car and cried the whole way home. And I kept coming back. And I wasn't sure about this at all. You know, I was still on this whole thought process that I was just going to do this summer thing and go back to school and be able to go to parties and do what I did and be the crazy person that people thought I was. And I actually, like, didn't completely stay clean during that first couple weeks, which I said I did, but I didn't. I had been, you know, through my psych center visits, prescribed this sleeping pill, which the sleeping pill, when I took a few of them, it kind of made me feel like I was a little drunk. So I had gone to California a couple weeks after I came into the rooms, and I took that, like, three of them every night to just get that little drunk feeling. And I tried so hard to get to Tijuana, but there was never a bus there, and I was so mad because I just wanted to go to Tijuana and drink because I wasn't 21 yet and I couldn't drink on my vacation. And I came back and I, you know, did this NA thing and this outpatient thing, and I guess I kind of got sucked into it, which was a good thing. I got brainwashed, but my brain needed a little washing. I actually got that from someone else in recovery, so, and that was true. Because I didn't know up from down or right from wrong at that time, and I needed to just follow everybody else's example, and that's what I did. I went to the meetings that they told me I had to go to, and eventually I started going to more meetings than I needed to go to each week, because what else was I going to do with my evening anyways? I was just going home and laying in bed and sobbing about my poor life. So I started coming to the meetings. I got a basic text. Found a sponsor, found a home group, and I just kept doing what they said here. And eventually, like, the oddest things started to happen. I started to like coming here. But then I went back to school. And that was really tough for me, to go back to school, and I lived in the dorms, and I didn't know who I was without drugs there. I didn't know who I was. Like, I didn't know how to go about school and not use, because that's what I did. And I wasn't quite sure how to get back to, you know, to be a normal person that didn't use, if that's what they do. I don't really know. So I ended up in a psych center again with about 6 months clean. And after that psych center, I realized, like, I went to a meeting, you know, like they tell you in rehab, which I've heard this because I've shared at a lot of rehabs and, you know, I hear other people's stories, that when you get out to go to a meeting, when I got out of that psych center, I went to a meeting and I heard the reading, "Why Are We Here?" And I realized that that reading was the truest statement I'd ever heard, because I tried, you know, I tried religion, and I tried psychology, I tried medicine, I tried all of these other things. And nothing worked for me. But when I walked into a room of NA and I sat down and for an hour, I could just be an addict, a not using addict, and be okay with it. Everything was okay. And I could go back out into the world and I could do another 24 and I could come back to my meeting. So I changed a lot of things in my life. You know, before even during those first 6 months, I tried to make NA fit my life. I changed a lot of things after that experience and made my life fit NA. You know, I made sure that I could get to meetings every day, and I made sure that I didn't hang out with old people, which I had been trying to do, and that was really, really difficult, too. And I hear a lot of people share about that when they come in, and I can empathize, because there's a lot of people out there that I still wish that I had contact with sometimes, but the thing is, I don't know what they're doing in their lives, and I can't afford what they may be doing in their lives in my life, because today my life is worth more than that. And I think that's what I slowly really, really learned from NA, which was very, very difficult for me, coming from, like, this mental health issue and you know, using to make myself feel better. And just finally actually having to sit with myself became a real challenge. And I did that through the steps and through a sponsor. You know, my sponsor told me, like, everything in my life had to relate back to the 12 steps. You know, I had a lot of fucked up issues. You know, somebody actually in recovery once said that I had more issues than Sports Illustrated. And you know what? I was really offended when that happened, but today I can laugh about it because I know that it's true. You know, I came in here and I didn't pick up drugs just to pick up drugs. I picked up drugs because there was a lot of stuff going on in my head before that. And there was a lot of stuff that I couldn't figure out about myself before that, and I thought drugs was going to help me. It was really the symptom to the disease, which the disease is in me. And it took a while for me to, like, connect all of that, because I wanted to separate everything. You know, I wanted to say that NA couldn't help me with my eating disorder, NA couldn't help me with my cutting, or NA couldn't help me with my mental health issues. But really it could, because it was all about not picking up that first thing, whatever it was. Whatever I could do each day to not pick up the negative messages I was sending myself, the, you know, anything that was bad in my life that was self-destructive, whatever I could do, NA was the solution to that for me. And like I said, my sponsor, the first sponsor I had, really, really helped me with that, because she said, "Sarah, you know, you have to treat this just like you treat your using. If you feel like picking this certain whatever it is up, call me. Call your sponsor. Call someone in a support group. Get their help." And that really, you know, that definitely helped. And there were a lot of road bumps in recovery. And it hasn't been, I haven't been clean since those first days. I, like a lot of people in here, I came into the rooms and I got involved in relationships that weren't a good idea for me. It's hard to love someone and let them go when you can't love yourself. And I thought, you know, like, I could have all these great phrases. You know, I thought I was like some NA superstar. I was part of ARIA. I was a GSR. I would, you know, go to all these conventions. You know, I was a merchandise chair. I did all this great stuff. I was like right in the middle of NA. But in the midst of being in the middle of NA, I wasn't like addressing the same issues that I would just brush under a rug and say it's okay. I don't need to address this, because really on the outside I'm looking okay. I'm looking healthy. I'm looking like I haven't picked up in 2.5 years and things are good, you know. Everybody else seems to think I'm wonderful, so I must be wonderful, right? And I guess, like, that's why I thought I could get into relationships when I had under a year, and I kept on getting into those relationships, and I kept on doing things that were hurtful to myself. And then I got into a good relationship, someone who wasn't going to put up with my bullshit. But I think that was like a slap in the face, too, because I knew that eventually I couldn't fool everyone, or I couldn't even fool myself. So I thought that it would be a great idea to just go out and have a drink with somebody. So at 2.5 years clean, I went to a bar. I was finally 21, and I had a drink, and then I had another drink, and then I had another drink, and then I wanted to smoke some pot, and I wanted to do some other things, and I didn't do them that night. And, you know, 2 weeks later, I did, after coming back in and getting clean for 2 weeks, and I ended up taking some of my mom's pain pills because she had broken her shoulder not too long before that, and it was difficult. I remember going in and having to tell all of you that I relapsed as the most devastating day in my life. But I have to remember that. And I think back on that day a lot because I watch people come in and out of the rooms. And I know that it's really, really difficult. Because, you know, those 2 times of using and coming back in and knowing that it was my first day clean, it was like I threw away 2.5 years. What's throwing away 1 day? What's throwing away 2 days or 3 days or 4 days or a month? But every time that I didn't throw those days away or I didn't pick up for that month or those 2 months or those 3 months or those 4 months or those 5 months, you know what? It's turned into 3.5 years. And I'm not giving up those 3.5 years so easily this time. And I wanted to talk about mainly like the concept of we do recover, because to me that's so relevant in my life now. You know, when I picked up again, when I picked that time up and I lost those 2.5 years, I had to like dedicate myself to recovery in a different way. My ego feeds off of belonging to organizations and feeling like I belong and having chair things. And, you know, the one thing that kept me in NA the first time were the key tags, because, damn it, I want every award you can give me. And that's what my ego is. My ego tells me, give me awards, give me more awards, give me more awards, and I'll be happy and I'll feel okay with myself. But when I go home at night and it's just me, do I feel okay with myself? And that's kind of what I've dedicated, you know, the past 3.5 years are just, who am I? And am I going to feel okay with myself when I lay down at night? And that's the important thing. And it isn't, you know, every night that's not what happens. But you know what? We do recover because it's been a while since I've really self-harmed myself in a long time. It's been a long time since I hurt anyone else intentionally. At least I hope I haven't hurt anyone unintentionally. If I have, I'm sorry, but I don't think I have. You know, when I got out of those different psych centers and stuff, I was on all kinds of medicines. You know what? I'm medicine free today. I'm chemical free. And to me, those were necessary chemicals because I needed them to get right. But you know what that says to me? That I'm healthy today and that I'm recovering. And that I keep recovering. And that's what's important, because we do recover. We recover as a whole, and we recover as a group, and we recover as individuals. You know, like I finished college, which I thought was never going to happen. I thought I'd never get a job, a full-time job. I had a hard time keeping a job in recovery. And I do that now. You know, I have a really good job. And I'm proud of that, because sometimes I'm sitting in my office or I'm walking, you know, the floor of where I work, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, which is manage people and manage, you know, manage talent and manage reports. And I can't believe that they don't know who I was. And that tells me that we recover, because they have no idea that, you know what, I come to these meetings. They have no idea. What they know is that when we go out and we socialize, I don't drink. They know that I made that clear to them when we first, you know, like we have a girls' night at work, and I told them I don't drink. And they're fine with that, and they don't pressure me, and they don't, you know, they're social drinkers, and I don't understand that. No, I remember the one night they left a drink on the bar, and I'm like looking at that like, how can they do that? If that was me, that drink would be gone, then half the drinks behind the bar would be gone. And I didn't get that, you know, and that's how I know that I'm different than that, that I'm not one of those people, and I can't allow myself to begin to think that it's okay to have a drink. Because I'll have a drink, and it might be okay tonight, and maybe it'll be okay the next night, but eventually I'm going to lose the job I have. I'm going to lose the relationship I'm in. I'm going to lose my apartment. And hopefully, if I'm lucky, I'm going to end up back here again having a devastating day because I have to tell you that I fucked up. And I don't want to have to do that. And that's why I have to remind myself every day where I came from. You know, they tell you to play the whole tape, the tape the whole way through. And I didn't understand that a lot of times because, yeah, I had good days out there using. I had days where I had fun. I had days where I thought I had real friendships, and I probably did for that day, but I'm really good at, like I said, burning bridges. But when it came down to it, there was always those days where I was curled in a ball crying to get out. And those are the days that I have to remember because no matter what, if it's a good day, those days can come. I could drink today and think it's wonderful, but you know what? Eventually I'm going to be curled in a ball, I'm going to be in a psych center, I'm going to be in a jail, or I'm going to be dead. And NA has taught me that in the fact that we recover a life that sometimes I don't even know that I had that life before. I think I did when I was a kid, but I think I let that go. Life is important to me today. Human life is important to me today. So yeah, like we recover because, you know, sometimes it comes down to material things. I just got my first vehicle that I went through the whole lease thing on my own. You know, it's used, but it's not that used to me. And it's amazing because before I couldn't imagine, like I'm reading this lease and I'm thinking, oh my God, they want my first child if I default and they want this and they want that. But NIA has taught me to be responsible, and in being responsible and in becoming a productive member of society and recovering, I pay my bills on time. You know, I have a job so I can pay my bills on time. Sometimes I don't always like my job. Like, it's been pretty stressful. It's staffing season, and staffing season is very difficult because I don't know where to find the bodies to fill the positions that I need for my job. And that's my responsibility. But also knowing that sometimes, like I said, the little things, like, I lock the building at night and I think, oh my God, they gave me a key. Like, if they knew what could happen if I relapsed, they would never give me a key. And that keeps me coming back, you know. We were at a meeting last night and they were talking about more will be revealed, and it talked about having positions out in society. And, you know, I'm part of an organization outside of NA and they want me to hold a position. It's a small position, but that makes me excited because, you know, partly that ego thing, and partly because they don't notice that I'm an addict. So in saying those things, that's what I think is important, that we recover, because I'm not, sometimes when I think about when I used, or even when I think about some certain days of my life, they're like a dream, because I don't know who that person is, because I've become a much stronger person in myself today. I don't have to use drugs to be Wonder Woman. I can come to a dance and be Wonder Woman. That's pretty exciting. So just thank you for letting me share. Thank you for listening to me mumble. And thanks for letting me have another day clean.